Have you ever had that experience when you meet someone and within 30 seconds, you know this is your type person? I felt that the minute I hopped into the digital recording studio for today's interview with our guest. I've been following him and his inspiring social media account for years. You might know him as Garden Marcus. But as a person who has interviewed so many different online personalities, you really never know what they're going to be like in person. And I'm so happy to say that Marcus has surpassed my dreams for what this conversation on plants and wellness could have been. I ended up tossing the list of questions that I had prepared for him to the wind and just trusted our conversation would flow where it was supposed to. And boy, did it. This conversation filled my soul so much, and I am so excited to share it with you. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. My name's Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And today I am so excited for an in-depth conversation with Garden Marcus, Marcus Bridgewater, my new plant friend, all about how we can really use plants and nature as a wellness tool. And I thought as we wrap up the year, as 2024 comes to a close, what better way as we're all in either this like exhausted from the holiday space or ideally reflective space. I always get very reflective at the end of the year. Just like using this conversation as kind of balm for your soul, for your planty soul, and also ideally inspiring you to maybe bring some of the tools and some of the thoughts that Marcus and I discuss into 2025 with you. If you don't know about Garden Marcus, he is a creator, an educator, and an inspiring voice. He's captured the hearts of plant enthusiasts and growth seekers worldwide with his content on social media, in which he blends practical gardening wisdom and life lessons. He's a plant life parallel guy, just like your girl. And ironically, we both had books about plant care and self-care come out at about the same time. His book called How to Grow, Nurture Your Garden, Nurture Yourself, and obviously my book, Growing Joy, both came out at similar times. Both have this message and mission to help everyone in the world use plants to live a better and happier life. He also has a new book that just came out. It's actually a journal called Seasons of Growth, and it's inspired about trees, which we also talk about. So obviously, if you know me, if you've listened to this podcast, you're just going to know Marcus is such a kindred spirit of mine. And this conversation really is so beautiful. And he's a kindred spirit, obviously, for our passion for plants. But we have another very unique thing in common that I will let this conversation inform you about. But boy, was I giggling when I started talking to Marcus and realizing we have this thing in common. So without further ado, here's Marcus Bridgewater of Garden Marcus. Marcus, my new planty, like soulmate, best friend. My jaw's on the floor from the 5 minutes that we've just been talking and all the similarities that we've had. Welcome to Growing Joy. It is such an honor to have you today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I have been following you. I mean, I've been a fan of yours, following you for a couple of years now. We had books come out at the same time, and that's when I found you. And also, that's like when you were blowing up on TikTok. And I've loved your content. And something I have to say is I had sent you an email. We had been emailing back and forth about this. And you wrote in your email, greetings. And so many of your videos, you use the word greetings when you talk to people. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is exactly how he is on email as he is on camera.
Oh, yeah. There's not a lot of fluff there. You know what I mean? I literally try and be as genuine as I possibly can, send as much love as I possibly can into the screen. I love greetings because it seems so much more inviting to me and so much more uplifting. It reminds me of the holidays. And when I found out that I could say it year round, I was like, done. Yeah, that is my new way of inviting people to engage with me. Greeting.
I love that. We just realized we are both theater kids.
Oh, yeah.
And to be a theater kid is to be a very specific type of personality. It's like when you meet another one, it's like immediate. And I think that's so funny because I didn't know that about you. I went to school for opera performing. You went to school for technical direction, right?
Well, I went to high school for theater. And so that meant that it was primarily for acting. And then while doing the acting, because I didn't ever leave school, I also put a lot of energy into tech. And when it came time to graduate high school, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go and learn more about the technical side of things than the acting side of things. And so that's where I wound up in technical direction as a degree. And the world changed when I graduated.
I am so jealous of your technical background because I would assume it's paid off so much in creating content, production, creating sets, like creating, having the visual framework for all of your content. It's probably a huge reason why you've been successful.
During peak pandemic, I did a team up with Mashables. And I think the only reason that that was successful was because I understood how to create the picture and how to show the picture. So it was like, you know, it's one thing you create it, but it's another thing, how do you capture that and light it so that like the audience can see what you're trying to convey, and also do that in terms of delivery within the timing. So it was one of those times where I had this moment where I felt really fortunate that I had all of this robust entertainment training, because I really had to use it and have had to in order to create content, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think about the expense of like going to school for opera and like being a struggling actress for a decade. But, and I know people say this all the time, but like theater really does have transferable skills. Now, you're at a disadvantage if you're figuring out how to transfer them because you don't have the degree in sales or you don't, you know, whatever you're trying to transfer. But man, like, if you're a theater person, you're quick on your feet, you adjust, you assess, you can read the room. I feel like you have a hypersensitivity because you're trained to feel all the people on stage with you. You're trained to see backstage. You can experience that relationship and those heightened sensitivities with your plants. What other theater things do you feel like have prepped you for what you do now?
Collaboration. And just understanding, you know, how different parts have to come together in process, right? You know, you have to start somewhere. So I think about scripting is a really important one, right? There's a lot of times where, although I'm being genuine in what I say, I need to make sure that what I say makes sense. So I'm going to write it down, right? Like I'd like journal it out. And I'll think about how many times, like in that process, I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad I did that because it didn't make sense. And that exchange is a type of editing, right? That I think, you know, many of great writers have gone through long before the actor has taken that. So there's process involved that I think I really have come to appreciate from that. Then there's also the layers of tone and mood and understanding how those things affect the audience and why it's important to be conscious of those things so that you can tell your story and really drive home the feeling with the least amount of resistance.
100%. And you know, you're talking about a lot of things that you so brilliantly experience as a creator. For those listening who might not know what the Garden Marcus brand is, How did you become Garden Marcus? Like, what has been this journey? You have such an interesting history of how you got to be. I mean, are you at a million yet on TikTok? Like, you're like such a huge creator on TikTok and Instagram too. And you make such beautiful content. So what has this journey been like for you?
Oh man, this journey has been absolutely incredible. And this journey has been one that I feel like is somewhat of a storybook, because if you imagine me just walking down a path, it's like I got called over off that path and was like, hey, come into this cave. And you're like, whoa, man, I don't know. That seems kind of strange. You go in there and it turns out to be an entirely new magical land with an even grander path for you to walk on. So it happened because I was an administrator at a private preparatory in Texas, and I created a program in the theater department underneath the production umbrella, teaching kids how to build and create really complex scenery and put on shows. And in the process of doing that, you know, you create an atmosphere where there's a lot of potential for camaraderie and a lot of potential for learning and also shenanigans. But if you are conscious of the need for the shenanigans and you provide some bubbles and some games every now and then, you know what I mean? You can curb that and turn that into a really good environment. And I feel really fortunate that the school let me do that. And I had a great team for several years. One of those kids graduated, went off to college in California, and then came home one Christmas in 2019 and said, "Hey, you know, what you did for me and so many of the other students has really changed our lives, and it was profound. You should put that onto TikTok." I was touched. It was like, oh, thanks. You know, it's really a nice thing to hear as a teacher to be like, oh, what I did mattered to you. And that you said this to your peers and they feel the same way. That's so nice. What's TikTok? Isn't that a calendar app? And why would I do that? TikTok.
I remember those days.
And he was like, it's not a calendar app. Now, I got to tell you, I thought TikTok was a calendar app, and I thought that all the kids were using it to keep up with their, you know what I mean, their busy schedules or whatnot.
TikTok, right.
Exactly. And I was like, it just made sense. It's like, oh man, it's going to help you keep track of every second, not steal every second. So I talked to him and he showed me what it was. And it was through that that we put it onto TikTok. But you go back a couple years, okay, before that happened. And I'm in the garden with a good friend of mine. And she says, you know, you talk a lot about your plants and you use metaphors to talk to people about your plants. Like, you've named plants after people and then, like, different students have names of plants. Like, you should change your Instagram from a bunch of random letters and stuff to Garden Marcus. And I said, well, that's a wild idea. Why would I ever do that? And she was like, well, you know, what you call yourself on these things matters. Your screen name matters. I didn't know that. And so she's now my wife.
Aww.
And it was my wife's idea to call me Garden Marcus because I love my garden so much. And that was where I spent all of my free time and any of my energy.
So were you gardening from a young age? Like, were you always gardening, or when did you find gardening?
Okay, so my grandma, all right, my adoptive grandma, she was a Southern Belle, and she had a beautiful garden, okay? When I was growing up, she would ask me to water that garden. And I got to climb those trees. I got to suck on those hibiscus flowers. I got to run through those bougainvillea vines and, like, dodge all of the thorns. I got to do so many things outside in her orange trees, the apple trees, like, all those things. I got to enjoy the nature, and she was right on a set of woods. So, you know, we'd play in the woods and play run from the animals and hide from this and dig a hole for that. And it was just a great time as a kid being out in nature. And I grew up in that nature. And as an adult, found myself in more and more situations where I was like, I'm just going to go spend more time in that nature. And so I spent time in trees and befriended different animals, and I spent time in nature. Well, then when I was called to this job, right? Don't know if you've ever been to Houston. Houston is not a place that has a ton of nature.
It does have beautiful oak trees. I mean, I went to Rice University, and it's the entire, all the streets are hugged by these gorgeous oak trees. I was gorgeous. so allergic to them every March.
Me too.
I'd wheeze.
Me too. Me too. Oh gosh, me too. And I mean, it's been one of the challenges. It's been one of the challenges in the give and takes of being here in Houston. But I think a part of that allergy is that there's not a lot of things growing on the ground and in between the stages of the trees to help with the pollen. But that's a whole nother situation. But I was saying that not to knock Houston by any means, because I love Houston. I live here. And
No, but it's a huge city. I mean, it's a concrete jungle.
Yeah. It's exactly it. And I didn't realize how much I missed nature until I had a moment and I started surrounding myself with all the plants and realized like the plants made me feel so much better, you know, and that process really was transformative. So I've not always been a gardener. I've always been a nature enthusiast and found myself gardening to cultivate my own nature experience. So,
yeah, I mean, I've interviewed so many people at this point, and I love asking this question because I hear two different stories from many different people. Yours, which is I grew up surrounded by nature. It was part of who I was. I got disconnected from it, and then I needed to work hard to reconnect. Or my experience, which other people have, is I was super disconnected to nature. I found it, this part of my heart awakened that had been dormant, and I haven't looked back. Exactly. It's so interesting. But when you talk about biophilia, I mean, it is for real that as humans, we are hardwired to be surrounded by plants.
I'm saying, when you think about how much it makes sense, we're in a constant exchange. This is something I talk about a lot now. And I'm like, we're in a constant exchange. Every single second of every moment, we're in an exchange with our universe. That's breathing. I'm putting out and I'm taking in. I'm putting out and I'm taking in. And that exchange, right, is being done the same way with our plant cousins. So absolutely, what I put out, they take in. What they put out, I take in. And oh, man.
We're all family.
It just makes sense that we should be surrounded by each other and supporting each other. It's almost like we should have plant backpacks. Like we should be like, oh, I got a plant buddy. I've been growing this plant since the beginning. It's like, this is, you know what I mean? I'm vibing. Great air. Good to see you.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
I'm about to tell you the most ridiculous story that makes me look like the craziest plant lady you have ever met. And I canceled the term crazy plant lady in my book, but this is a truly crazy thing that I used to do. And you'll appreciate it because you're a theater kid. So there was a time where I was doing this podcast as just a passion project, and I was still a Broadway actress and I was auditioning all the time. And I was getting some anxiety, like the higher auditions I was getting stressed. And I was talking to a therapist about it. And I was like, when I'm with my plants, I feel free. I feel expansive. And then I get into the audition rooms and I get like really contracted. She was like, is there a way for you to like bring a plant in your audition with you? And I was like, is there a way that I can bring a plant in my audition with me? So I made a terrarium out of a mason jar with a tiny cutting of my favorite watermelon peperomia. And I would a closed terrarium. So I put the top on it and I would bring that terrarium in my backpack to the audition. And I would like giggle sitting outside of the audition being like, I have a plant in my backpack, but it was my like good juju plant, you know?
I'm so proud of you. I'm so
kooky.
I mean, so I did the same thing. Like I was like,
you did?
I legitimately started bringing pineapples all over the place. I'd keep one in the back of my truck and be like, I know there's a pineapple out there. Like anywhere I went, I was like, I've always got some plants on me. And it felt really good. And there was a lot of times where I'd be sitting there and I'd be thinking, nobody knows. There's a pineapple right behind him.
It's my little secret. Yes. Isn't this funny that I have a terrarium in my backpack and all these other people in this audition room have no idea? It was so fun.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome.
I think you were also saying, you know, I love what you're saying about the reciprocity of like it being in community with plants, but then also like seeing how plants are in community with each other, with the mycorrhizal network, with how they work and live on each other. And how, like, as humans, we're supposed to be experiencing that. Like, I lived in the Catskills in the woods. I was on 5 acres with my husband for 3 years. And it was a beautiful honeymoon. After we lived in New York City, we moved in the pandemic. It was a beautiful honeymoon. But then I just recently moved to Florida and I'm back in civilization again. And I'm going to a gym every day and I'm experiencing people. And I'm like, I had no idea how isolated and lonely I was until I took myself out of that really isolated situation.
And you put yourself in a community. And I think about, so there's two things to say to that I think are important. On one side, right, we have this drive to be nuclear, this drive to isolate, this drive to be solo. Me, 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 me. I have to have mine. I have to secure my insurance, my protection, my assets, my things, me. And although those things are important, it's creating this drive to be by oneself, to have a massive mansion and be alone. And at the same time, we know we're a pack creature and we thrive with people around us. So when I stopped and I looked back at this and I was like, why does this constant confliction happen. It seems like we're driving in a direction that we know is not good for us. Why is that? And I came to this place where I was like, it's because we're desperate for peace. The community we have around us right now is so driven by all these things. It's so built up so much tension that now we're not applying kindness, patience, and positivity to ourselves or to each other. And so that's made it easy for us to be like, well, we shouldn't be around that guy or we shouldn't be around that girl. We got to get out of here. So now you're looking at each other as obstacles, and your obstacles because no one's working on their peace so that they can become resources to each other. And what that's done is it's made it harder and harder for people to find joy in just being alive. And that's a problem in our day and age, because we derive joy from connection, from being rewarded in just being. And that reward comes from respect from our fellow human being and from time, right? The smallest amount of kindness can go so far in the depths of someone's hurt. But instead, most of us are just caught in our own lane and we stack on the hurt of everyone else and don't realize that's perpetuating wheels of hurt to ourselves, right? It's like, oh, comes back to us, up, comes back to us. So it's been a powerful thing to watch and to see, because on one side, it's a fantastic thing to have those acreage and to be by oneself and to be able to have that time. But at the same time, it's so much more rewarding to have that and to also have the people who are there supporting you, who are also rewarded in that same space. So it's a community.
100%. So beautifully said. I think, and this goes back to plants, right? Like when we think about, I like to say plants are like little aliens. They like can't really communicate with us. They don't speak our language. And we just have to figure out how to take care of them. And that fosters empathy, kindness, patience, like all of these things that we as a society are lacking. And if we can practice this micro in our gardens, tiny moments over and over and over again, it's like a muscle that we can build and take it out into the world, because the world needs kind people right now.
Absolutely. I was thinking, and this has put me on this really interesting curve of thought where I don't know where it is going to take me, but for the rehabilitation of humanity, we need more plants. We need more
100%.
Plant spaces. We need more places that are designed for you to just go and be in and be immersed in the plantscape, and to have the plants be told, like, these are the types of people who are coming through, so that the plants are absorbing that energy. There's a consciousness that I don't think that we give to plants. Like, their alienness, that lack of speech, does not denote a lack of intelligence.
Yes.
And that is where I think many humans have made incredible amounts of mistakes, where we just walk up and see a tree and we're like, oh, man, that's going to be a great stool.
Yeah, or we just cut it down. Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, oh, it's going to be a great stool. So you cut it down to turn it into a bed, and it's like, and your stool. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. When I think about what our ancestors did to the redwoods and to the chestnut trees in this country, I am appalled to a level that still baffles me daily now that I've come to this awareness and I'm conscious that like such things, such magnificent things existed all over the place. It speaks
there are to elders.
It's elders, exactly. It speaks to a disconnect that humanity has perpetuated in their lack of wisdom in the choices being made on a large scale. And it's a strange thing to watch and to witness. And I think that for the rehabilitation of humanity, we need more plant spaces that we send people through to just be.
100%, yes. And if we want to rehabilitate humanity, we have to rehabilitate the earth first, right? Because if she's our mom, if she's our mother, and we've treated her so poorly, we have to start with her. And yes, we need more green spaces. 100%. Everybody needs access to green spaces. There are all these crazy studies that show like depression rates are higher if you are in a city that has no access to green space. But also, I would argue even like more people need to have individual plant collections, whether it's houseplants or gardens, because it's also that like responsibility, interaction. Because I can go to a park and appreciate a tree, but it's only when I'm kind of responsible for this pothos, like to be alive, that I really dig deeper. Now, I'm a tree hugger. Like I talk to trees all the time now, but I feel like that also can be a little more intimidating to people, you know?
I 100% agree. And I want you to consider this, because this is just a thought that I'm having, right? What if the people who were cutting down those trees, instead of trekking through those forests in boots, they were walking barefoot for just 30 minutes? I have a huge thought that like there's a good chance they wouldn't have cut the trees down the same way. There would have been more of a consciousness, but the boots can disconnect us. And so as you talk about the rehabilitation of the earth, I'm reminded, right, I talk a lot about this in just my life, just community and environment. We're affected by who we grow with and where we grow. And the earth will do so much better when we start to respect it again. And respect simply means to apply focus and time and awareness, right? And so that time, that focus is going to encourage people to see the beauty around them so they steward it more and they respect it more. I think that there's a lot of choices being made that show we don't respect our earth the way we probably should, given how much it supports us.
100%. Are you a grounding person or an earthing person?
I sleep on a grounding mat. I do my best to never wear shoes. I encourage grounding all the time. I watch my grandmother transform in front of my eyes from 30 minutes of grounding. And it's one of those things where I wish that I had more time and could have convinced more people around her to do the same, because it's transformative. And when you think about the fact that there is nowhere around you right now, there's no building that exists that's not tied to the ground, because you can't even exist in your building without power. You're reminded that it's like, it's literally around us at all times and we're ignoring it. How does it make any sense?
No, 100%. For those listening who don't know what this is, both Marcus and I have written about this concept in our books, but grounding is this concept that, you know, you have rubber soles on your feet, on all your shoes, the rubber disconnects you to the natural charge of the earth's surface. And by putting your bare feet on the earth's surface, you reconnect, is it negative, positive ions?
Yeah, negative and positive ions, like a battery, you're helping to circulate them again.
Exactly. And Marcus mentioned a grounding mat, one of my favorite toys, which is a mat. So if you're inside, or say you live in an apartment and you're on the fourth floor, or you're at an office all day, you can get these grounding mats that replicate the electrical current of the earth. I don't sleep on mine. I like that idea.
Oh, yeah. I'd thoroughly encourage it. It's a great way to sleep.
Yeah, I use mine in recovery. So I had melanoma last year. I had a huge surgery on my face. And I lived on that mat for my first like 2 weeks out of surgery. And I really feel like it made a difference.
I'm sure it did. You know, the amount of people who aren't healing the way they should because their being literally isn't circulating the energy the way it wants to. And like all of our bodies are gifted with an incredible design. I mean, you didn't make yourself breathe, but by golly, you're doing it. And so, you know, when we start to really respect these processes we've been gifted, it's transformative. But there's a lot of that we just don't know, you know, that we just don't know. And you know, the amount of people who are afraid of the outdoors, the amount of institutions that have entire things called like infection control And infection control simply means can't have plants, period, because plants can be infectious.
Yeah, people can't bring plants into their offices. It's crazy.
And because of how insurances work and how these programs work. And it's like, well, that's destructive because we know for fact, we've seen the research to show that we need those plants. So then it's like, oh, well, the plants bring in animals, the plants bring in mites, the plants bring in these things. And it just goes to show that we've created a world with boxes that we want to consider sterile. And the idea of sterile goes back to our place of like, well, I want this as to be my kind of peace. And go back to what we were talking about, where that's, well, that's very isolating and inevitably will lead to a type of depression and a type of internal degradation.
100%. So beautifully said. Yeah. I mean, it makes me think I just moved and I just did my bedroom and I had all my new like bed and rug and all natural, you know, I'm doing a biophilic bedroom, all natural materials, but I had all the stuff. And last night as I went to sleep, I did it yesterday. And last night as I went to sleep, I was like, something doesn't feel right. And this morning I was like, oh, there are no plants in this bedroom. And then I put plants in the bedroom and it was like an exhale. It was crazy. Yeah. And I'm biased, obviously, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'll travel and I don't, when there's no plants in the space, my wife knows. She's like, oh, you probably feel antsy here, don't you? And she'll call me on it and I'll look around and be like, oh yeah, I do. And that's probably why there's no energy here to remind me that life is in this room. And like the idea that I'm going to live in a space that has no life to support me. No flower exists just because it exists. It exists because of the culmination of effort that had to be gone through to be produced. And it is done so that the community can engage in some way. And I think like you can't flower inside a room with nothing in it. So why would I want to live inside of a box that has no life? That just makes no sense. I'll never flower. Anyway.
Amen.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. So you love plant life parallels as much as I do. It's very rare to find another person. I love earlier where you were like, yeah, my wife was telling me you talk about your plants a lot. I'm like, yeah, I relate. Your book is filled with so many of them. I loved your book, How to Grow. I'm so excited for your next book coming out.
Oh, thank you.
What plant life parallel are you like living and exploring right now? Like, what is the most current experience?
Man, the current one has been learning that the new sprout will go in directions you don't anticipate. And what it means to watch as that sprout grows from a part of you, right? And so as I've seen on many of different tree and many a different plant, the mother stock puts out another stock, and watching that stock grow into its own unique entity. I'm watching my son transform in front of my eyes every day, and it's been truly fascinating.
How old is he?
He is 13 months.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. It has been unbelievable. And he's running around and being rambunctious and making tons of noise. I woke him up here just now. So, yeah, it's been life-changing in so many ways.
Yeah. Also, that concept of back to redwoods. Have you been to the redwoods on the West Coast?
Just was there last week.
What do you think of them? Oh, did it change your life? They changed my life.
It was so beautiful, and it was so majestic and magnificent. It was like, I keep thinking about how fairy tales work, and I'm like, dude, to be there on a foggy morning in some mystic space where you just can't even see the top, but you just have these massive trunks, and to think, you know, you've been alive for 2,000, 3,000 years, like the amount of age and wisdom and turmoil you've been through. You've been through fires that, you know, disintegrated everything and it all had to start over. But you were looking down at it and you persevered, you kept going. I mean, I just talk all day. It was unbelievable. It was
unbelievable. Talk about perspective too. It gives you like, oh my God, these trees have been around here for thousands of years. They'll be around thousands of years after me. Like my little worries are so small.
Why would we cut it down to make a cabin? Again, speechless is what I found myself. And all I could think was, you had to have and must be so disconnected from life and the respect of your planet to see this thing and to think, I'm going to make a stool out of it. Like, and that's why I'm like, I invite conversation with whoever that guy is. I want to know, who are you, wherever you are in the world, that walks up to that tree and is like, oh, this is going to make a great bed. I want to talk to you. Not because I'm like, we need to tussle or anything. I need to understand my fellow human being in a better way. And I would love to know, have you put your feet on the ground? Truly, like that's like the first thing. I can't imagine you've sat connected to the ground for 30 minutes even and still want to cut down the tree. I just would love to know. It's just like what do you call that? A people experiment? Like just a thought experiment? I'd love to do this.
I remember hugging one of the trees and like just touching, like it's, you feel its life force.
Right.
You can feel it.
But the feeling, this is a really interesting thing. And the second section of my book, right? There's an intro and then there's mental health, physical fitness section.
Yeah.
Got really convoluted because of the writing process got really convoluted because there was a moment where I really wanted to talk about feeling, but my understanding of feeling isn't the same for everyone else. And when you said that just now, it reminded me of how feeling is such a broad term for many people, because feeling could be their feelings. And so they're like, oh, that's intangible. It can't actually touch. But there's things that you feel, right? There are feelings that you actually feel that are tech, right? And there's texture. So to think about how texture affects one's feelings, right? Because of how something feels, says a lot about how people are engaging with the world, because many people have not felt the ground. So they've been cut off from the thing that feels and has the most amount of feeling to it. So if all you've ever engaged with is other things that have never had feeling, right? You see where I'm getting at? So now all of a sudden, when I go to give you a feeling, are you callous?
Or just numb? Like, are you just totally numbed out?
Right? Like, are you callous or are you numb? Like, how much feeling will it take before you feel again? Like, if you've not actually felt. And that's been a really...
Yeah. You're trying to make sense of it.
Writing on the walls, right? It's like, oh, man, I wonder. Who knows?
I think, you know, it's interesting. It makes me think about... So until I was 27, I was a huge plant killer, super plant blind, lived in New York City, concrete jungle, was an actress, like barely able to take care of myself, let alone a plant. And I didn't see the trees on my street. Like I didn't notice them until I started caring for houseplants, until I started having my planty awakening. And then all of a sudden I saw myself standing dumbfounded outside of my apartment I had lived in for 3 years, being like, I cannot believe this tree is living in this concrete square in the sidewalk. What the heck?
And has been. Right. It's like, what? Yes, yeah. I feel the same way. I'd say it. I like to tell people awareness takes practice and practice takes persistence. And in order for you to become aware of anything, you must have been practicing it some time, because observations stack up and many of us have not been practicing.
Well, there's an awakening. Even before that, like there's an awakening and an understanding of I haven't been aware. Because I feel like when I was going through that awakening and the coming out of my plant blindness, it was like, oh my God, I have not seen this tree for 3 years. I am looking at this tree for the first time.
Passing right by it. And that's where the practice comes into play. Literally, how much are you missing right around you? Because you've turned off your perception to the life around you. Like, it's really wild that when you think about, when I talk about respect, right? Respect means to pay attention to something. Most of us are paying attention to the things we don't like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we respect the things we don't like, disrespect all the things that have life.
Or just take for granted.
And take them for granted, right? And it's like, but that's a disrespect.
Yes.
And it's like, it's profound to think that, no, if you just stop for a moment and apply more respect to the things that actually build you and build growth, life would start to change for the better immediately. Like, we would all start to be better because that's how life works.
Well, and there's appreciation, there's perspective. That unlocks everything, right? Like, that unlocks
gratitude all of a sudden starts coming like waves from all over the place. Gratitude is just, oh man, oh my gosh, there's so much to be grateful for. Thank you, tree.
Thank you, trees.
Thank you, tree.
Thanks for the oxygen. Yeah.
Right? I'm like, thank you for putting out what I take in. You know what I mean? Yeah. I hope you appreciate what little I put out that you take in. You'll be here long after me. If, you know what I mean? If I'm fortunate enough to treat the earth well, you will live a long life. And I hope you do, my redwood friends.
Yes, our redwood friends. I have to send you a postcard from my book. It's Lessons from the Redwood Forest. And it's like this really sweet little illustration that is like me, like a tiny little me and like a really big forest, tree.
That's awesome.
The perspective is just like so incredible. They're and also like they are fire resistant. Like they can literally burn and survive fire. Like that is so badass.
You saying that again, I just keep going back to this. Why did we not try to like work with them? You know what I mean? Sit and be like, hey, can we learn about a little bit? Can we build up there with you? You know what I'm saying? Like instead of cut you down, build up this, I don't know. Anyway.
Did you ever read, it's a fiction book and it's very long and it's one of my favorite books and I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's a fiction book and it's about the Redwood journey and it's about, it's five different characters. One is inspired by Suzanne Simard. One is inspired by the Save the Redwoods, like hippies in the 70s. No? Oh, you love it.
No, but it sounds like it's something I'll enjoy engaging with. So
yeah, I'll look it up. I'll put it in the show notes and I will send you the title because it's so good. But it really gets inside of the devastating Redwood situation. But anyway, not to like bring this down, not to like make this podcast a total bummer.
If anything, I would hope that it turns people into or it just adds to people's awareness that we've make choices that have effects and we should be trying to make better choices, choices that aren't taking away majestic creatures for bedstools. Like it doesn't make sense.
Your book was so beautiful.
Thank you. It's so sweet of you.
I thought it was really interesting how you brought it through these different aspects, like the physical, like I had never considered the physical like the physical wellness aspect of it. So can you tell us a little bit about How to Grow came to be, what that writing process was like? Do you feel like you were able to put what you wanted into that book? Like, how are you feeling about it now that it's been a couple of years?
Oh, man. You know, How to Grow was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I had to go into my memory bank, open up cans of trauma and experiences that I thought that I had dealt with pretty well and put away, and re-examine them so that I could actually articulate it to someone else. All of the work I had done was self-work that I'd done through journals and empowerment and was like, boom, got you, stack it, moving on. And I lived life that way. I had to go back, open those up, read them and be like, well, hey, this experience really hurt. And like that moment hurt. And there were moments where I'd be like, whoa, man, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention, was to have a moment right now reliving this thing that was really traumatic. But then to have times where the editor challenges me and says, hey, listen, what you just shared is brilliant, but the audience isn't ready for that yet. We've got to dumb this down. It's like not dumb it down so that the audience feels dumb. We got to dumb it down because literally what you're talking about is so complex and the level of introspection you sent yourself through is not where people are right now. They got to start with the basics. Like you got to talk like people haven't been journaling. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what? People aren't working on themselves?
Yeah. Crazy to think about. Yeah.
Right. And so that made it a really challenging thing to then have to go back and to make something that I thought I had softened by just sharing it.
Well, and it's so personal, like taking any form of critique, it's so personal.
It's super personal, right? And so there was these like really complex moments where I was like, I don't want to relive that moment again, right? But I gotta, because that's what humanity needs if this book is to be truly selfless and to be for humanity. And so that's what it was, and that's what it is. So where did it come from? It came from a desire to try to know myself so that I could try to understand the complexity that is humanity. I grew up in the church, and we talked a lot about mind, body, spirit. And in that journey, I saw varying cultures talking about the same things, but then they would argue in the words they used and in the practices they did. And so I was like, who am I to argue with this person? And if I've never participated, like, can I pray with you? Can I pray how you pray? Can you tell me your traditions? And I did that with hundreds of people and all sorts of cultures around our planet. And it brought me to this awareness that there's a lot of consistency, and many of us don't open ourselves up to perceive where we have similarities before we look for the parameters that define our differences.
Yes, 100%. We're all doing the same thing. It's just marketing. It's different marketing branding.
100.
It's so fascinating.
It's been fascinating. And so to go and participate and man, people really love their brands.
They're brand loyal.
They really are.
One might argue they're brand loyal.
And I've always felt kind of outcast because I've never been brand loyal. I've been community loyal. And community loyal to me is like literally every single thing living in the community. Not just the flowers, not just the bushes or the roses or just the Bougainvillea. It's like, no, all of the different things matter. And so fostering each of them matters. And if I was to say, I'm going to cut away all the trees so there's just full sun, well, I'm going to burn up everything that lives down here. Why would I do that? Those things need their shade. So, but if I was to say, no, I'm going to block out the sun, well, I'm going to kill all the trees. Why would I do that? So this idea that there just needs to be one side or another has always bothered me. And it's been my life's work to try to figure out how to explain why I don't think that should be.
And you mentioned your life's work, because something I thought that was interesting, that is interesting about you, is you have Garden Marcus, but then you also have Marcus Bridgewater, who is are you a life coach or are you a, yeah. Like you give all sorts of talks that are some plant related, some not. So like, what is the life's mission?
The life's mission is to empower people and inspire them to work on their mind, body, spirit. That's their mental health, physical fitness, spiritual awareness, so that they can be a pillar in their community. And by doing so, we build stronger communities and healthier environments.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Right now, what's the split? Because as Marcus Bridgewater, you do a lot of like lectures and talks on self-development and stuff, right?
Absolutely. So it's an interesting thing, right? I would say that it's hard to name the split outright because
yeah,
it changes so much daily. I would say that more people know me as Garden Marcus, but more people engage with the philosophy that Garden Marcus uses, which is Marcus Bridgewater's, right? And so all of Garden Marcus is based on the Choice Forward philosophy, which is my company. And that is designed to, the way I'll share that, every choice you make is a seed planted in the forest of your future. So the more conscious you are of what your choices do today, the more you steer your future and control your tomorrow. So that's how I share things. And Garden Marcus has been a great conduit to do that. I think that as far as exposure, it's been 80-20. Like Garden Marcus is way better about getting that message out there than just little old Marcus Bridgewater. But I think at a certain point, because of what I do as a person, for people, person to person, that I'm going to cross someone who that matters to and who has a different type of position. And it's going to change how Marcus Bridgewater is perceived and also how far Garden Marcus goes.
Yes. And it all feeds each other. Like
Absolutely.
Going back to the theater kid skills too, it's like the Choice Forward feeds Garden Marcus, Garden Marcus feeds Choice Forward. It's all a big, beautiful thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Being a parent is going to elevate and feed all of that as well. Who knows what other things will come of that. You have another book coming out, a journal. I love the seasons. I love living by the seasons. I'm a moon lady. I live by the moon. I live by the seasons. So tell us about your new journal that's coming out.
It's out. It came out September 17th.
Oh, great. Okay.
And as soon as we get off here, I'm going to make sure that you have one in the mail. I honestly thought that you had already had one show up.
I have a digital copy. I read the digital copy. I'm not a physical.
Okay. But no, I want you to have a physical copy so you can actually like...
So I can actually journal. I would love that.
Yeah, so you can actually journal, yeah, without a stylus. So Seasons of Growth, it's inspired by trees. And the idea is like a tree has leaves, stem, and roots. You've got a mind, body, and spirit. And it's so important that you are taking care of the entire part of yourself. Right? Not just the leaves, not just the trunk, and it's not the roots. You're taking care of the entire entity so that you can thrive and maximize your potential. But if you want to truly take that potential and capitalize on it, you also have to do what trees do and recognize each season is an opportunity for a different engagement with life, a different type of growth. So you don't do the same things in the winter that you do in the summer. Right. And the transitions in between are different. Right. That's what fall and spring are. So you want to be conscious that there is changes and you are going to benefit from acknowledging them and changing with them, not trying to fight them and be angry that they are disrupting your 9-to-5. Well, no, your 9-to-5 is disrupting them and you should use them to make your 9-to-5 better.
100%. That's like, in the last year, that's what I've really been sitting with is this concept of like, we have seasons just like our plants. And why does society make us feel like we always have to be in spring, summer? Like, why do we always feel like we have to be in such an insane growth spurt?
Go, go, go.
Go, go, go.
And go, go, go doesn't even work. When you think about like, go, go, go just leads to traffic. It's like, did that make any sense?
And burnout. That's why burnout is such a huge issue in this country. So anyway, Marcus, you're such a gift. I am so thankful that we got to have this conversation. Where can everyone go find you and get your books and follow you on socials and do all the things?
So the one-stop shop is gardenmarcus.com. You know, you go to gardenmarcus.com and you'll see everything. And from there, you can connect to all different kinds of things. But if you like Instagram, garden_Marcus is my handle. If you like TikTok, it's Garden Marcus. YouTube and Facebook are Garden Marcus. And, you know, you'll find kindness, patience, and positivity in all of those places. How to Grow, my first book, and Seasons of Growth, my second book, are available everywhere books are sold. So your library, if they don't have it, they'll get it anywhere, independent shop or any big store that you want it. All you got to do is walk up to the teller and they'll be able to find it and get it to you within a short amount of time. So
yeah, we'll link to everything in the show notes too.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
This was so awesome.
You're so fun.
Such a pleasure to have a great conversation with. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marcus. This was such a beautiful conversation. It really filled my cup. I want to have more conversations like this in 2025. So I sincerely hope Marcus will join me again in 2025. I hope you found inspiration from this conversation. I hope it filled your cup. Man, it's just so nice to speak to other people who get you in such a deep and profound way. So make sure that you're following him if you haven't already. Garden Marcus is his account. And make sure to get his books. His books are called How to Grow and Seasons of Growth. You're going to love them. Happy end of year, plant friend. I don't want to say Happy New Year yet, but my, has 2024 been the most wild year? I'm saving my kind of 2024 recap for the beginning of next year, which is in a week. So never fear. I'll be back with lots of thoughts and reflections on 2024 and intentions and things that I'm excited about growing, both planty and personally for 2025. So sending you so much love in this moment and obviously hoping that every day and every week, and of course, hoping that this episode helps you continue to keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, it takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're gonna get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.